Welcome to this podcast series on The Game Changers, from radical idea to innovative business. Are you wondering how deep tech startups move out of the lab and successfully to market? This series may help to address some of your questions. I'm your host, Aoife Mangan, and in this series, I interview technology experts from many different industries, including health, space, energy. In each episode, we meet with the European Innovation Council Programme Manager and listen to their experiences in scaling up European deep tech. In case you haven't heard of the European Innovation Council, which is also known as the EIC, it's Europe's flagship innovation programme supporting university-based tech projects and game-changing tech companies or startups. Today, we're discussing a radical innovation in the field of health and biotechnology, which drastically speeds up the testing time for antibiotic resistance for tuberculosis, also known as TB. EMP Diagnostics, the company behind this breakthrough, has acquired joint funding from both the EIC and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Here with us today to discuss the significance of this rapid testing method are Yordanas Arshmaniglou, EIC Programme Manager for Health and Biotechnology and also a medical molecular geneticist by training, and Pavan Asalapuram, the co-founder, vice CEO at EMP Diagnostics and a pharmacist and clinical biotechnologist. A massive warm welcome to you both. Thank you for being here. Yordanas, let's start with you. Could you please begin by giving us some statistics on TB? Just how serious is the situation currently worldwide? And Pavan, please feel free to jump in here as well.
Tuberculosis is, of course, a known global problem for many decades and is considered actually a curable overall and preventable disease. But in reality, we are still far from that. It's very interesting that according to the WHO statistics, although between 2015 and 2020, the incidence of the disease was falling, for at least not known to me an exact explanation, right now this trend was reversed, and we have an increase by 4%, which is almost 4%, which is quite significant. It was dropping for 5 years in a row, about 2%, and now it increased 4%. We have, in terms of numbers, about 2 million new infections every year. According to numbers, the statistics say that around 4,000 people die every day. Perhaps Beva knows better these figures than me. The important thing is that, for one, to recognize that we have two major types of this disease, which is the active form and the non-active form, which is when the bacteria are what is called the mycobacteria, which are responsible for this disease, are in the latent phase. I'd like to only add to what I just said, in terms of statistics, that tuberculosis has higher prevalence than very well-known diseases like HIV or malaria. Of course, those are the cause of those are viruses. In the case of HIV, it's a virus, but in this case, it's a mycobacteria.
Very good, Yordanas. Anything you'd like to add there, Pavan?
So thank you, Dennis, for setting the pace here. As I said, yes, 4,000 people die every day because of tuberculosis. And 10.8 million new infections are recorded every year, so to say, which requires about $10 billion for the control and management of the tuberculosis. And of course, you are absolutely right that no country is safe from tuberculosis. As you can see, one in three are undiagnosed. And two in three of the patients who are supposed to be multidrug resistant, either they are misdiagnosed or they are not even diagnosed. As I said before, no country is safe from tuberculosis. Many parts of the world, including Asia, Africa, and Americas, have tuberculosis patients. However, Eastern European regions, including the former USSR states, they have a highest number of multidrug resistant patients. So it's an alarming situation because post-COVID, the tuberculosis incidence has been increased by 19%. So that requires a huge as well as careful attention, not only for the diagnosis of tuberculosis, but also to initiate the correct antibiotic treatment right from the first clinical meeting.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much to you both. And another question I'll also open to the floor, but I think you've already touched on it there, Pavan. Can you walk us through the challenges we face in treating TB today?
So today we have a lack of rapid diagnostics that are available in the primary healthcare centers or in the first clinical contact points. So that means that the doctors or the clinicians are unable to choose the correct antibiotics that are necessary and that are also effective antibiotics, or say. So therefore, it's most of the times the clinicians are forced to prescribe empirical treatment, which indirectly contributes to the resistance. Therefore, it is a need of the hour that we have to provide the useful as well as proficient diagnostic solutions in the first clinical meetings or the first TB hospitals in order to accelerate correct diagnosis so that the doctors can choose the necessary antibiotics. So this is one of the major problems. However, thanks to WHO, thanks to philanthropic organizations and also many funding agencies from different countries, and also the national TB programs of every country, they are taking measures after realizing the severity of the tuberculosis and also its spreading antibiotic resistance, that they are promoting and taking measures for the diagnosis, and also initiating a proper treatment, the long-term as well as short-term treatment. And most of the cases, they make it free to the needy.
Fantastic. Thank you, Pavan. Anything to add to this, Jordanus?
Yes. Very well explained by Pavan. Two points to add from my end. The first one is that this challenge differs a lot between developed and developing countries. The developed countries have a low incidence of a disease, and that is understood. So the emphasis on the developed countries is on the treatment, and you focus usually on the contacts of those few patients, undergoing the active form of the disease. So it makes a lot of sense, and this is where exactly they focus clinically, the active countries, to really know the contacts and follow them clinically, monitor them, because they might need, you know, urgent treatment, or they might be in latent phase, or they might undergo, they might escalate very rapidly. On the other hand, we have a high incidence in the developing countries. There, it's understandable that the focus is on the programs that you are trying to monitor the expansion and how the disease spreads across the population. And the emphasis there is on the detection of the cases, and really to be able to run programs, yeah, and inform the people across these usually heavily populated countries with high incidence of the disease. So different trends, I would say, or different emphasis, different focus between developed and developing countries. The second comment is all what Pavan said, and I added to that. It points to the need of having a personalized treatment for this particular disease, which is an alarming situation. We say that we are in the era of personalized medicine, but if one takes into consideration tuberculosis, I believe he or she understands even better the need for a personalized approach. And very, very final comment, I believe you touched upon that, Pavan, is that there is a problem that with the MDRD, the multi-drug resistant TB that we have in the society, the cost is higher. I'm not sure if it's 5, 6, or 7 times higher, but it's definitely much higher, the cost of the treatment when we're dealing with multi-drug resistance, tuberculosis versus tuberculosis can be treated with the X or the Y antibiotic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dennis. As I said, like, you know, if the patient is susceptible for TB, this person can be treated around 50,000 euros, for example. And if he develops antibiotic resistance, then the same person would need about 300,000 euros for the treatment. It's huge, but it's a socio-economic burden for any country, for that matter.
Clear. Thank you. Thank you both very much for this. Now, Pavan, turning to the solutions. Firstly, many congratulations on the introduction of your very important innovation to the world. Could you tell us a little bit about this new testing method and how it tackles the antimicrobial resistance issue that you just referred to?
Sure. I'm really happy to talk about this. So what we do at Empa Diagnostics is that we have mastered two different diagnostic solutions. One is a molecular test, which is called a padlock probe and rolling circle amplification, and the later biosensors. So, and we combined these two innovative technologies together and made a platform called MFlow DX, which stands for Multiflow Diagnostics. In using this diagnostic solution, we can detect the bacteria. We can also detect its antibiotic gene profiles. That means that we identify and also visualize the gene targets that are coding for antibiotic resistance. So that means that we have developed a test cassette as similar to the pregnancy test or a COVID test. By seeing the cassette itself, the technician or the doctor can immediately identify if the patient has developed a TB. If he has developed a TB, if the patient has developed multidrug resistance, and if he has developed multidrug resistance, which antibiotic to give. All these three answers can be visually seen within 3 hours after getting the patient sample. So one more thing is that we provide answers in yes or no format, as similar to the COVID test or the pregnancy test. And we have developed the first MDR-TB test, which can detect TB and multidrug resistance in one test. And now we are developing the world's first pre-XDR TB in one test. So that means that we can detect TB and also pre-XDR resistance genotypes in one test. The beauty of this technology is that it is completely customizable. That means that we can either add a target or we can remove a target in approximately 2 months, more or less. And the beauty of this is that there is no upfront infrastructure or instruments are needed, because we need a simple thermocycler, which is a PCR machine. Now, thanks to COVID, that almost all the diagnostic hospitals or the clinics have this PCR machine. And exactly this is what we need. So the end user, the labs, they can simply buy the test kits from Empire Diagnostics and use it on their instruments. So there is no upfront installation cost, so to say. So this is what we have developed at Empire Diagnostics.
Fantastic. That's very exciting. And how exactly has the European Innovation Council supported your company and you on this very exciting journey, Pavan?
Thank you for asking this question. This is a fantastic journey, and I really appreciate the recognition given by EAC. And especially, I would like to thank the project manager, Penelope, and also the coordinator and director, Yordinas, for this support. So we have applied for the grant, and among, I think, 4,000 companies or so, we have been selected as one of the grantees recipients of EAC funding from the European Innovation Council. This has been a very important step in Empire Diagnostics history, so to say, having recognized by European Innovation Council, which also prompted us to be seen by Bill and Melinda Gates. So when they were screening for different diagnostic solutions, I think, of course, they have identified Empire Diagnostics in collaboration with the EAC Council. And now we are so happy that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has funded us or granted money to develop this test to the next level. So that means that today we are using sputum samples, and with the Gates Foundation's contribution and also support, we are now moving our test to next level by much simplifying it further. So that means that now we can test the tuberculosis by using a throat swabs, as similar to the COVID. So that means that one can take the tongue swabs, take the sample, put it in a tube, and send it to the labs, and we would be able to test.
Fantastic. That, thanks to you, Pavan. Now, Jordanis, back to you. This project, as Pavan touched upon there, has been supported by two major investors, as we know, the EIC and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Could you talk a little bit about your role as a program manager in connecting EIC companies with co-investors and also describe the process or what happened to bring Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to this particular game-changing innovation?
Thanks for the question, because it gives me the opportunity to talk about something that is not very, very well known to the outside world, that EIC is building internally what we call strategic intelligence. And this is gradually growing. And the MP Diagnostics is one of the cases that it helps us understand how to become better in strategic intelligence in-house. Since you ask me, this journey started when, Bill Melinda Gates Foundation is a very big one. So there is a health division directory, and this has a president. So the president visited us here in Brussels, and the director of EIC, Jean-David Malot, and I, and Keith Sequeira, who's in charge of strategy, we joined the meeting with the president, and the president brought his people together with him. This is how it started. There was a previous communication between Bill Melinda Gates Foundation and EIC, but the train got on track after that visit. Now, following that, we carried out lots of meetings. And it wasn't very easy because we were learning through this process. The first thing to do was to visit their offices in London and discuss with them many opportunities that go far beyond tuberculosis and MP Diagnostics. So it was an exploratory phase. We met with people from Seattle. In Seattle, there is the accelerator, which is part of the health directory, and we interact a lot with them. We interact a lot with them on different areas in health, in the area of infectious diseases. And through this interaction, we met with the person who is in charge of their HIV program, which is quite big. In general, it is known that infectious diseases is a priority for Gates Foundation. So at some point through all this interaction, we send them our five best projects that we thought were excelling in the field. And they had inventions and discoveries very worthwhile to be supported for their further development. And then we ended up with three. And finally, we got from the last three, we got a message from their Seattle, from the headquarters, that one division of the Gates Foundation in California, the diagnostic division, was interested in one of the three. And that's how it started. What I would like to point out, to emphasize from all this, is the importance, because Gates has very good scientists on board and has very well thought and prepared and developed due diligence in when evaluating projects and new ideas. The fact that we managed to get into a very constructive discussion in this case, and hopefully in other cases in the future, it just also was very reassuring about us that we are also building strong intelligence internally. And this is very good because it can expand to other areas, as I said. And notably, for those that they listen to this interview, I believe it would be worthwhile for them to know that the negotiation phase for MP Diagnostics was extremely short. It required 1 month and a half, and for me, this is is kind of a record time in finalizing the deal. So we gave a grant to MP Diagnostics, and it took only 1 month and a half for Gates to do the same thing and provide them with a second grant, which totally confirms and proves, if you want, that we had the same view, we had the same assessment of the importance of what Pavan and his team have developed, and we're very, really happy about that.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jordanis. This is all we have time for today, folks. So a very, very big thank you to both of our panelists, Jordanis and Pavan, and of course to all you listeners out there. This brings us to the end of our podcast, part of the series The Game Changers, From Radical Idea to Innovative Business. Until next time.